So I just want to start off with, you know, as we prepare for Christmas, and just a few comments, but what do you love about Christmas? What is your favorite thing? You can just shout it out.
Being with family.
Being with family. I think that if we were going to do one of those family feud things, that would probably be like the top answer. Like you get, you know, like 90 points for that one. What else?
The lights and the music.
I was waiting for somebody to talk about the lights. You know, I see them coming back. Do you see them coming back? I see people putting them up. I see businesses putting them back up again. And it's so joyful to see the lights because they're a reflection of that light of God, that light of Jesus, of celebrating, you know, when Jesus comes to this earth. What else?
Music.
Presence. You know, music, I think of when we used to go door to door, of course, you know, if I went, I'd stay way in the back, you know, way under the radar. But there were some that would be right up front and they would sing it out and they would go door to door. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then in our services, as we give the praise, I believe that we are joining with all the angels in heaven, and that there's already, remember it said that there's praise going on unceasingly, constantly. You know, I was reading about in these little Advent books. It's so cool. These things are really, really cool. You got to grab up a couple of these. It talks about, like, if we had to praise and praise day and night, 24 hours a day, every day, what would happen to our throats? They get a little raw, don't you think? We get a little tired, don't you think? We get a little tired out. I don't think we'd last 24 hours, would we? But the angels are up there and all the creatures are up there singing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I also have heard, like, even the trees and the grass and the flowers are all singing out to God.
The stars
are shimmering out and singing out in the praise. But for me, the number one thing, which echoes back to my childhood, is the nativity set. I still want to get one on the lawn, a big one, you know, where everybody can see it. But I have an old one that my father made. It's just a bunch of pieces of wood, and it's just fashioned together. But I love it because it also is very reminiscent of what it really would be. It would just be kind of cobbled together, right? I mean, and then we put some straw in there, and we have all the figurines of the wise men and everybody, and Mary and Joseph, and if we couldn't put the baby in, you know, the baby couldn't go in until Christmas Day because, you know, the baby's not there yet, right? So I love the nativity scene because the nativity scene brings it back. It brings it back to what it's really all about. So as we prepare for Christmas, I really want us to prepare with God with us. The miracle of Christmas is the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. The miracle of Christmas is the presence of God. It is God incarnated. That's what's really going on here. God the Father becoming the child. It even says that in Scripture. Right into Matthew. Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All this took place. All this preparation took place. All this time of Mary and Joseph took place. All the prophecies. Do you know there are over 300 prophecies about Jesus that all came true? Do you know that and you may have already heard this. I saw it again. And it's like 8 prophecies. If you just picked out 8 out of the 300. But the odds of those things all coming true are like one and with 17 zeros. And then to kind of bring it home, what the illustration is, if you took the state of Texas and you took silver dollars and stacked them 2 feet high all over the entire state of Texas, and you marked one with, let's say, an X on it, or better yet, a C for Christ, and you mixed them all up. Don't ask me how you mix up all these coins on as large of a state, but let's say you could, and let's say you mixed them all, jumbled them all up, and then you took somebody and you blindfolded them, and you let them loose somewhere in Texas, and you said you could go anywhere you want in Texas and pick up any coin you want, and I want you to pick up the very coin that is marked. What do you think the odds are? I think Vegas would have a field day with that one. So that's the odds of 8. I can't even give you the number for 300. And it's actually more than 300. It's more than 365, actually. More than the days we have of the year. That's how many prophecies all came true. And actually, I was going to give you guys, I have a handout of 55. It was 40 pages. And it was like, okay, I can't print out 40 pages and 40 copies. That's a lot of paper. I'll share the link with anybody that wants it. It comes from the Jesus film, which is really a really cool website anyways. You should know about it. It's where they made the Jesus film, and they take it all over the world. And it's still going strong. It's the 1950s, I think it was. And they're still showing that film. But they also help us to understand about Jesus with us. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And all the prophecies. They've been talking about this for a long time. They've been talking about this for thousands of years, about this Messiah, about this one that would come from the house of David, that would have a kingdom that would never end. They've been waiting a long time for this. The virgin will conceive, that's Mary, of course, and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I have to really bring this home for a minute, that as we look at Christmas, we can get lost in all those things we talked about. We can get lost in the lights and the gifts and you gotta get to the store, you gotta get the list done, you gotta get the food prepared, you gotta get the family over. We can get lost, and it's all wonderful stuff. But we get lost in all that. That's why I like the nativity scene, which brings me home, brings me back to what this is really about. But really what is striking me this year is God with us. Jesus is God with us. God becoming a human being, a little tiny baby. And sometimes, we get lost in that too, right? We get lost that Jesus was in this manger. But Jesus was here before the beginning of anything. Jesus created everything. It says that in the Word spoke. God spoke. That is Jesus. It says in Colossians that everything was made by Him. Everything finds its purpose in Him. As we come into Christmas, we need to understand the big picture. Not the little picture in the manger. And how the big picture and the little picture come together. Because what it's about is God wants to be with me. That is really humbling. God wants to be with me? Hey, God, you know who you're talking about here? You want to be with me? You want to share supper with me? You want to talk to me? You want me to unload my troubles on you? Are you sure about this, Dad? God with us. And not just God with us, because if you watch the story as it unfolds, Jesus leaves after that Last Supper, after that communion. And He says, I gotta go, because I'm gonna give you a comforter. I'm gonna give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now won't only just be with you, He won't just walk aside, He won't just sit down and have supper with you, He'll be inside of you. God with us. So as we get ready for Christmas, I want us to have that revelation. My job is to read scripture and get a revelation and share it. So I'm trying. I'm trying to share that revelation because this is a big one. This is the one that is really overshadowing all of them. God with us. And if we want to go back into Isaiah the prophet, and it talked about this long ago, long before Jesus was in the cradle in Bethlehem, which of course Bethlehem itself was prophesied. Isaiah says this, and we even sing this in a song. For to us, a child is born. You know, Isaiah, this is thousands of years before Jesus. And Isaiah's not the only one. There's all these prophets that are talking about this coming of the Messiah. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. It's like he's talking to us right now. From thousands of years ago, he's talking straight to us. For to us, Chippewa Valley Church of God, the river, all visitors, everybody, all the churches across the globe, for to us, to the world, to those who know God and don't know yet know God, for to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You know what really struck me in this? Is this child is going to be called Everlasting Father. So how is this child a father? I like taking scripture apart a little bit. I like digging in deep. I like asking questions.
He was
around before he was born. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God incarnate. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the Father incarnate. And I know we know all this, right? But it's coming with revelation. It's just a new understanding of what we already understand. It's that profound understanding, that simplicity that comes crystal clear. That Jesus is the Father in ever need a counselor in your life? It used to be like if you went to a counselor, it was like, what's wrong with him? Counselor, you know, because it's a rich man's luxury. It's a luxury to be able to have somebody where you can talk to these days. So he is our Wonderful Counselor. We can talk to God about anything, anytime, anywhere, unashamed about anything going on. That is a beautiful thing, and God will always listen. You know, a counselor does a lot of listening. A good counselor listens. And so our Wonderful Counselor listens to us. He hears us. He not only listens, he became us so he could understand us, so he could relate to us. He became us so we could relate to him. All of this is being rolled into that manger scene. All of this is happening all at the same time. Prince of Peace. Wow. We need that today. Amen. All you have to do is turn on the news, look at the internet, read a newspaper, if you can find a newspaper. We need peace in this world. When I look at the situations going on across, you know, in Ukraine and Russia, in Palestine and Israel, and now spreading out to Lebanon, I just think what they need is Jesus. We stumbled on that one time in our life group that Jesus is the answer. And so you might ask, what's the question? Yeah, exactly. Any question. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to the mess over there. Jesus is the answer to the conflict over there. Jesus is the answer. The Prince of Peace is what we need to calm this here situation down. The Prince of Peace is what we need in the United States to stop all the turmoil and all the crazy separation that's going on. We need a Prince of Peace. We need a Counselor. We need a Mighty God. We need an Everlasting Father. Verse 7 says, of the greatness. Say that with me. Greatness. Greatness. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. See, that's the problem with peace, and that's the problem with governments. It is the end. You know, especially the peace ends and another government comes in. But with this government, this governing, this watching over, there's going to be a peace that never ends. I keep reckoning back to our book of Revelation, man. That is such a beautiful book. And about the end times, I don't understand them all. Don't ask me about millennial, premillennial, amillennial. Don't ask me about all that. I'll flunk. Because, I mean, God hasn't revealed all of that. We have theories. I'm good. However God decides to do that. But what it means is that God is giving everybody a second chance, everybody another chance to come to Him. I keep saying that, you know, fire and brimstone is raining down on their heads, and they're still so stubborn. And they still won't look up and see God. See, that's the thing about Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, but you gotta see Him. You gotta acknowledge Him. You gotta realize He's there. You can't be off on your own little tangent because you're just going to mess it all up. Can I get an amen? Have you ever messed it up?
Amen.
Have you ever gotten off on your own little tangent?
Yes.
Have you ever tried to fix it yourself?
Yes.
Have you ever finally, after you tried to fix it and fix it and fix it, finally said, you know what, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this anymore. How about you take it? That's what I'm talking about putting your hand out and a palm up and saying, God, you take this because this is a mess and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to help Nathaniel, but God does. God does. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, established and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. From that time on, it is, it's from the beginning of time when Jesus created everything. From that time on is when Jesus became a baby incarnate. From that time on is when He comes as a second coming. It's all and above. You know, it's like multiple choice where you get the last answer and it says all of the above. It's all of the above and more. And finally, the zeal. I love that word. Zeal. Isn't that a cool word? It's cool just to say it. Zeal. But you can feel it when you say it. It's like that word, pleasing. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Who will accomplish this?
Lord Almighty.
The Lord Almighty. Not me, not you, not even the church. The Lord will accomplish this. God will take care of it. God has got this. We said this over and over. I even got it printed on the back of a t-shirt now, thanks to Zanetta. God's got this. We need to understand that. He doesn't have it necessarily like you want it. And not necessarily like you want it. It's going to be the best way for it to go anyways. Because we look at short-term solutions, but what did it say here? It said, of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. It's not a short-term solution, is it? He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. God's all about forever. He became incarnate so we could be with Him forever. Emmanuel. God with us. So what do we do with all this? Well, first of all, it's obvious we get ready. We prepare for Christmas. When you go have our fun and go out shopping and our grocery list and our families, and that's all good stuff. We should do all of that because that is sharing. That is sharing. We should put up those lights and we should sing those songs and we should go out and do some caroling because that is sharing. Across this globe, they will share Jesus on that day. How cool is that? Across this globe, they will celebrate Jesus. Even if they don't know Jesus, they will still be celebrating Jesus. I'm good with that. Jesus says, whoever's with us is not against us. We prepare and we share. Share. It is so important that we share this truth. It is so important. There are people who are just perishing, like we talked last week. There are people who are just plain having a hard time. There are people who are looking for an answer, and we have the answer. And it's not fair of us not to share the answer, is it? We are to share. We are to prepare and share. So our assignment, you know how I love giving you a little assignment. Our assignment is to share your excitement about Christmas. I want you to call some people. I want you to get a hold of some people. I used to, every Christmas, I wouldn't be in enough of a Christmas spirit myself. So I would start calling all my friends and stuff on Christmas Day, and I'd wish them a Merry Christmas and having a great time with their families. And little by little, with each phone call, I would get boosted up and boosted up and boosted up. And by noon, after I made like 20 phone calls, of course, now we just do a text, right? Even the text works. Share. Share the joy. Share the glory. Share some Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you've given us something to share. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the great Emmanuel. Help us to understand. Help us to see that. Help us to take these little Advent booklets and share that with somebody else this year. And help, and maybe each day when we find a little tidbit, a little insight, maybe we can share that insight, maybe we can share that tidbit with somebody else, maybe we can share the book with somebody else, maybe we can share a verse, maybe we can share our heart, maybe we can share some family, maybe we can share our home. How can we share? You. Oh dear Father God, we ask for help with that right now. And in our churches, we ask that we can share. With every Christmas light that we see, may it just gleam a little message. With every wreath that is put up, may we see that amazing spirit of the Holy Spirit. With every greeting that we give, may they see our Lord in us, Emmanuel, God with us. Look what the verse says. Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. God is revealed in us. As we get ready for Christmas, He's revealed in us. We talked about that before, how we shine, how people can see that glow, how when we finally speak, they can hear the Holy Spirit coming out of us, how they can see Jesus in us, around us. Not that we're perfect. We're never perfect. Don't get hung up on perfect. It's not going to happen. But God is perfect. And don't get hung up on worthy. I've been talking to so many people about being worthy. They're not worthy. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. God is worthy inside of us, who makes us worthy. There's a big difference. One is about what do I earn, and it's all about pride, and look what I did. And the other is about, hey, look what God's done, and it's all about giving glory. You are worthy because He's made you worthy. It's that simple. And God is with us, and we need to share that. So have an amazing Christmas. We're going to have some time with decorating. We're making what we got going here. We're going to make it festive now, right? And we're going to put up some wreaths. We're going to put up a tree. And we're just going to have some cookies and some fellowship time and time just to share with, encourage one another. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us pray, your Father God. We thank you for your goodness. Your goodness that reflects in us. Your goodness that reflects in your Son. Your goodness that reflects in the Holy Spirit. Your goodness that can reflect and shine throughout this world. The light that has come and shattered the darkness. We thank you, dear Father God, as we get prepared to share this week. We ask for your blessing. So we are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Stay and have some cookies and help us decorate and help us to shine.